Attention Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, questers! Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 31, recording on Saturday, April 2nd, 2016, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I am Gigabyte, and I am pleased to share the fleet's Vox Relay with Orkta. How are you doing today, dude?
Yeah, not too bad, Gigabyte, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been off for the last week, and I've got another week off. Hey!
Whoa, now what job do I have to do to get that to happen to me?
Any retail job, really. You just have to book your holiday well in advance.
Yeah, retail, and this is Easter holiday. How did you manage that?
As I say, just book it well in advance, mate. As soon as my holiday recycles, that's it, bang. That's the March holiday booked in, because that's for my birthday.
Oh, well, I guess, well done. Or is it congratulations or commiserations for you?
I'd like to think congratulations. I'm now 35, so
getting on. A sprightly young lad. That's fair.
Indeed. So let's have a look at what's been going on in the world of Eternal. Okay, we're going to address this first of all. It's like the big elephant in the room. The team has decided to change the name of the game, rebranding, if you will. They're changing the name of the game to Forever Quest. Yeah. So, did you catch that at all there, Octa?
Yeah, I picked that up. I mean, Forever Quest. I think it's a bold move. But ultimately, let's be honest, Eternal Crusade. I mean, that's so vague. What is Eternal?
What is
a crusade? I mean, you know. But Forever Quest, that's really nailing the specifics, I feel. You know exactly how long forever is. That's not eternal,
exactly.
Is it? It's forever.
Exactly.
And
straight off the bat that, you know, you're going to be in this game for the rest of your life. You know, that's it. You're done.
Exactly. I think it was all probably led by Bandai as a, kind of a rebranding.
Yeah, definitely. Nathan did say that they've been having focus groups and. Forever Quest was the name that was decided upon to replace Eternal Crusade. So from now on we shall be referring to it as Forever Quest.
You're having trouble with this name, aren't you?
I am.
Forever
I am.
Quest. Yeah.
I am having a lot of trouble with this. It's going to be a very hard transition for me.
I'm already there. Forever Quest. Do you know why? Because it reminds me of a game that you may have heard of.
I know exactly what you mean, yes. It's a game that I played quite religiously back in the day.
World of Warcraft, yeah.
Indeed, that's right. So, let's take a look at what's been going on in the world of Forever Quest. First of all, in-game recently, we've had the Multi-Melter added in, which I am absolutely fucking loving. but I have to say, it's a little bit slow to start. When you press the button to fire, it takes a second or two to actually build up.
Breaking character here. I'm pretty sure we covered these last time.
Well, it was shown. In
are we going again?
In Into the Warp. It was shown in Into the Warp last time, but in the week that we were off, because we were off for a week, weren't we? They added it in game.
Right. Okay. Okay, well, there you go.
To be able to play with it now.
Right. Well, this is where, in that case, I get to show my absolute, what's the word? Preoccupation, I guess? Because I haven't played a single game in 2 weeks. I know.
Harris.
I know. Oh, you're telling me. I've been so busy at work. And then instead of coming home to play some Forever Quest, instead, I've been doing some hobby. Some 40k Tyranids, some Necrons.
Well, you can be forgiven then.
Well, I feel like that's almost like, that, you know, Forever Quest is spawned off of the, you know, the war game.
It's
so
true.
I feel that's allowed. You know, someone on the podcast should probably play the base game at some point, you know?
Yeah. We shan't send the Inquisition round to discipline you in that case.
Oh, well, I mean, hey. You know, never say never.
But yes, no, they say it's a bit slow to start up. When you press the button, it kind of takes a second or two to kick in. But it's really nice once it gets going.
Is it kind of, as I suspected last time, absolutely devastating in close quarters?
Yes and no. Because you're playing a Devastator while holding it, you can take a while turning around to actually hit someone with it. So a jump assault or someone who's pretty good at evading can get out of your way pretty easily.
Hold on. Are you saying that Devastators have a slower turning movement than other classes?
Maybe not by themselves, but it seems that way. Once you're firing the weapon, it seems to, you know, take longer to turn around. I don't know if that's a bug or not.
Okay. So, like, if you're holding it down, then you can't just whip around, like, 360 degrees. That makes sense.
And they've also added in the Imperial Fortress map in the game, which I'm really enjoying once I get to play it. I'm having the same issue you had with Tarius Refinery. It's not coming up that often.
Which, again, is really weird. I mean, you know, this is almost a completely new type of map. You'd think they'd be pushing it harder than the others.
Well, especially when you consider the fact that this is much different to all the other maps we've had as well. This is a 60-on-60 map. It's huge. No, this map is massive. You would expect people to... you would expect the company would want people to play this a lot more.
How is the 60-on-60 for lag?
In all honesty, it's been pretty good. I've not really experienced that much issues.
Well, that's good.
Well, I think the only issue I've experienced recently is rubber banding. But that's something we've had in the past, and that's also, I think that's going to be an ongoing issue.
Okay. And how is it to play in such a big, you know, open bit of terrain? Is it dominated by Stalker Bolters, or what's going on?
No, you definitely need vehicles. You definitely need to have a lot of Rhinos, and obviously the Vindicator to blast down the door to the fortress, and Predators. But you definitely need vehicles in there. You need to get people in the Rhinos and get them up there. Otherwise, you're just holding down the run button for God knows how long.
Oh, right. So yeah. It's a big map then.
It's huge. I've been on both the attack and the defense now. Being on the attack is a lot easier, I have to admit, because obviously you're not limited by lives, as we've seen in Into the Warp when they showed it off. The defenders do have a number of lives in terms of respawns, and for the attackers it almost seems like you want to kill as many of the opposing faction as possible so that they run through their lives that much faster, because once they're out of lives they don't respawn, and then you can just run a mark across the map and just take the 2 points.
So obviously the defenders can be just wiped out because they only have a certain number of lives, but there's also 2 points, and presumably if the attackers capture the 2 points they win.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a domination, so you have to domination, sorry. Is that Domination? I can't remember the
game names. Remember the game names, no.
But no, you have to catch A before you catch a B. A is in the courtyard, B is in the main fortress. But there's defense points, defense guns, situated around the courtyard. And they act as respawn points as well, which is pretty good. They have recently upped the defenders' lives. The defenders had, I think it was 150 lives before the last update, and they've upped it to 300 now, which is quite nice.
But that does seem better, but still... so that's, what, 10 lives?
60 people.
Oh, it's 60 on 60, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 60 on 60. So if you got
60 so 5 lives. Side,
that's, about what? Yeah, about 5 lives.
That's not much. How long does the game seem to go for?
When I was on the attack, it went on for about 10 minutes. On the defense,
okay.
Less than that. But that was with the lower amount of lives, so.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think with that map, it really is about burning down the defenders' lives to try and make it so that you can just run amok.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I feel like this map is going to really strongly favour any team that can organise and work together.
Oh, definitely.
Because, I mean, I can imagine that running this as a pug would kind of suck. Potentially.
Just a bit. But no, it's a lot of fun to play, you know, as and when I get the chance to play it, when it pops up in the queue, but just wish I could play it more. Cool, so moving on to Into the Warp. Into the Warp 58, other than the change of the rebranding, rebranding to the game, we had a few other bits and pieces pop up there. They're putting in some more realistic tank movements, which I have to admit looks pretty nice.
Yeah, I saw those. I've got to say, up until now the tanks have been a box effectively, and I think that actually the new animations look really nice. Yeah, they're starting to really bring the vehicles to life.
It feels much nicer, especially I can imagine at least, when you're driving around in the vehicle, when you're in the driving seat. I reckon that's going to feel much nicer to actually pilot. In the terms of the melee update, they are bringing in the chain axe, which is something I'm sure a lot of Chaos players have been waiting on. It's intended to be an alternative to the chainsword, and will cost a little bit more than the chainsword, probably because being an axe, it will have more stopping power, as it tends to in the hobby game. But it looks really nice.
I liked it. Although, I don't know. I'd have to look at what a chain axe in the game looks like. I was almost going to say the head is possibly a bit too small. It's not that menacing. Yeah, but actually, that may be correct. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think in the hobby game, it does have a little bit more stopping power than a sword, if I remember correctly, because I think that's the point of an axe, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, it's like their +2 strength to the user normally,
yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Something
it's
like
that. It's been a while since I've actually played a game, to be honest, but... on that subject, they're also bringing in the plasma pistol, for jump assault and things like that, and I have been waiting for this for goddamn ages. Back when I used to play the Space Marine game, I always used to have the plasma pistol as an assault loadout, and it just eats face. It's such a great little weapon, but it is what it sounds like. It's going to be a lot more expensive than a standard bolt pistol, obviously, to the point where you won't be able to carry much else.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, and they were saying 2 fire modes, much similar to the
cannon.
Yeah, but they also said you're not going to get much ammo for it, which I assume is just to stop people from spamming its kind of unload and deplete your clip in one shot kind of.
Yeah, well, by the looks of the footage, that's the word I'm thinking of. It looked like Brent had about 40 shots, when he was in, well, it might have been Brent, it might have been Katie actually, when they were equipped with the plasma pistol in the game. It looks like about 40 shots with the pistol, so yeah, it's not too bad, but I can see on auto, I can see you going through that pretty quick.
Oh yeah, you'll burn through that in seconds. I mean, yeah. I mean, suddenly, well, obviously you shouldn't really be playing an assault class if you're defending, but when I'm defending, I find myself burning through my ammo really quickly.
Yeah.
And well, 40 is not much.
It's really
Suddenly, if you're running around on, not Tarras Refinery, Black Bolt thing.
Black Bolt Defense Station.
Yeah. I've found myself running from point to point on that and just wanting to die because my main gun has run out of ammo.
To be honest, I've been playing with a plasma gun recently, and you can blow through that pretty quick.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you put it onto full auto, you just wreck everyone.
It does wreck face though, it's a really good weapon.
You wreck everyone, and you wreck your ammo clip, yeah.
Yep, and they've also, looks like they're playing around with the loadout screen, which, to be honest, I really like the look of. It looks to be a lot more user-friendly. They're going to have, like, class, equipment, and appearance tabs, which I think in previous episodes, I think, Octa, you brought up a concern that the loadout screen wasn't very friendly to new players, and I think this updated version looks to be a lot more friendly to new players.
No, yep, I agree. I liked what I saw. I don't know, for me it's all about they need to implement having the guy behind it and changing his loadout dynamically as you're doing it, just because that shows you what something is, and obviously people are very visual, and for new players, yeah, I mean, you know, currently when you create a new class, you do just click and it's just two buttons. For a new person that doesn't know 40k, that is terrible. Like, they don't know what they're clicking.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, just, I think that the visual feedback's required. And should be in the game before they launch, preferably.
Oh, definitely. To be honest, it should have been in the game before they went to early access.
Well, I think that's a debate long past, as they're in early access now, aren't they?
Yeah. But the appearance, I'm quite looking forward to the appearance tab, because they were talking about being able to put on, like, your purity seals and skulls and all that sort of stuff all over your avatar, and I can't deck myself out.
Yes, definitely. I think the more customization they can give us, the better. I mean, obviously, Space Marines are, at the end of the day, army members, so you know they should all look relatively similar. But this isn't reality. We all want to be a bit unique, you know.
Yeah, there is a danger with Space Marines, especially Space Marines, to be a little bit cookie cutter. But I think if they do it right, I think the appearance tab could be like the saving grace for a lot of this game, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no, I think it'll be good. I mean, we've already had a bit of a taste of what they're going to do with the Rogue Trader store integrated.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. And actually, on the subject of the Rogue Trader store, they did mention with the plasma pistol that there will be more variants that you can get and mods you can get to change what they can do. So, hopefully, that means you may be able to get more ammo for the plasma pistol. Maybe at the expense of damage.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's what they've been. That's the party line, isn't it? All of the Rogue Trader items are not improvements. There are differences.
That's
so
right.
Everything will be a trade-off. Which I'm okay with, you know. As long as everything does remain a trade-off, as opposed to, you know, this gun just straight up does more damage or has more ammo. then it's not pay to win, so I'm okay with it.
Indeed. You kind of got a little bit of a clue towards this next point, but quest parties are coming. When Brent was changing loadouts, I think it was Brent was changing loadouts, it did say about parties being selectable there. He was able to select parties there. So I did get the idea that may have been a point that was going to be talked about. I think someone on the Q&A picked up on that. So yes, finally we'll be able to get the option to quest with our friends. which hopefully means Octo, you'll be able to get on with Vigilia Mortis and maybe wreck some face.
Yes, I'm hoping so. But again, I think what they're going to have to do after that is then actually matchmaking. Because obviously I've played with Vigilia Mortis, and actually it's kind of boring. Because when we go in as a squad, it's not really a question. It's just like, who are we going to kill today? Random pugs A, random pugs B. And it's not even challenging. If we can get to the point where we, you know, so somebody that goes in with a group of 10, somebody that goes in with a group of 10 will be matchmaked against another group of 10. And I think that needs to come at the same time. Like, I don't think they should put out one without the other.
Yeah, no, I mean, anyone who's played PvP in a game like World of Warcraft or any of the other MMOs, to be honest, will know that balance in PvE, especially when it comes to matchmaking, can be a pain in the ass. Especially when it comes to, like I say, matchmaking with groups and things like that. You join a PvE as a group, and then more often than not, you will wreck face. Is pretty much a guaranteed way to get yourself a win in PvP. Unless, of course, the other side are doing the same.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think once they've added in this parties option, that's really where the big work's going to come in terms of balancing.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting to see the differences in how pugs are playing versus how, I don't want to say competitive, but squads. Organized, that's the word. Yeah. Organized groups of play.
Indeed. Apparently PvE is being worked on. I didn't actually get this far in the Into the Warp, to be honest. I had to stop prematurely. By all accounts, no official word as to when it's going to be yet, but in true George Martin fashion, it is coming. Much like the dragons and the winter.
this was just a very brief mention at the Q&A at the end. One of the Twitch users asked, what's up with the PvE? Because it had originally been promised back, well, I say promised, they had said it was going to be released back in middle of February. We've just hit April, no word of it. I think there was just an offhand comment made about, a few glances between each other and sighs and saying, yeah, we're working on it. But I would not expect that to come before Eldar now, from the sounds of it.
No, there's been a big thing about Eldar recently. I think people on the stream were complaining about the fact that there wasn't an Eldar update in this most recent Into the Warp. and the console beta is on the way as well. For the console users, eventually we will be having the PS4 and the Xbox One formats coming out. Their beta will be coming soon. I'm kind of holding back my expectations on this one, but as myself and Katsu and a previous host, White Kong, have mentioned in the past, I don't hold out hope for them. Generally, cross-platform PvP generally doesn't work too well, to the point where I think Blizzard talked about it at one point with Diablo. And they abandoned it just because it was just too difficult for them to implement. And this is Blizzard, one of the biggest companies on the planet right now, and they can afford some of the best coders and programmers. So if they can't make it work, I don't hold out hope, if I'm totally honest.
Well, we do know that outside of just ForeverQuest, PS4 and Xbox One are... Well, Microsoft made a statement recently saying that they are wanting to make PS4 and Xbox One compatible with each other for multiplayer. So maybe this is kind of part of that drive. Possibly true. Bandai is more involved in that than we are aware. Who knows?
True.
Maybe that's the future.
Well, we can but hope. It's certainly an untapped market, and I think... if they can make it work, this is definitely the IP for it to come in on. This is such a huge IP that you never know what the fans are going to have in terms of systems. So if they can make it work on this, it's definitely going to be a big step for them.
Yeah, I think that making everything cross-compatible is the way to do it as well. Because, I mean, this isn't, you know, a twitchy FPS. This is a third-person shooter. I think it's doable, you know?
No, definitely.
And you're not at too much of a disadvantage. And they do obviously have smart fire, so there's a little bit of auto-aim plugged in. I think they could do it.
I hope so, but like I say, I'm holding back. Holding back on my expectations there. I don't want to be disappointed. Cool, so moving on to the miniatures side of things. First of all, I don't know if anyone's noticed on the main site recently, Games Workshop have tickets available for Warhammer Fest, which is coming up. £20 for an adult, £10 for a child, and apparently we'll have seminars covering all parts of the company, Citadel Miniatures, Black Library, and Forge World. I wish to Christ I could afford it.
Now, I've seen this come up, so, you know, I've got the Warhammer app and all that stuff, and I've seen it, and I've clicked on it, and is this just... what is it exactly? Are you playing games, or is it just seminars, as you said, or...?
I think, I'd say, I've never actually been to this myself, but I think it's primarily seminars, but it's Games Workshop, there's going to be games there anyway.
It's pretty good. Sure, yeah.
But I think it's mainly seminars on the, what they're called, the companies, that's the word. It's a chance to meet the writers, the designers, the artists, you know, things like that.
Okay. Yeah, I know that some people do it, like, you know, the Black Library one. I know that, yeah, you could pay some money and then go and you, you know, sit in a crowd with a bunch of the Black Library authors and, yeah, field questions from the audience kind of thing. Presumably they do the same for Citadel, Forge World, etc.
Yeah, I'd expect so. This is going to be on, where is it? Saturday the 14th of May and Sunday the 15th of May at the Rico Arena. Never been there. In Coventry.
Never even heard of it. Yeah.
No, neither have I, to be honest.
Oh, wait. So they're not doing this just in Warhammer World?
Apparently not. You would expect them to do it in Warhammer World.
You'd almost think that's why they have all of that space at Warhammer World, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, apparently Saturday will feature extensive displays of armies collected and painted by staff, and Sunday will be the Warhammer Fest, hosting the 2016 Golden Demon Miniatures Painting Competition. Which is a little bit weird. So yeah, should be quite interesting. I'd say I wish I could afford it, but unfortunately, I am skipped.
I guess. I mean, to be honest, if I were to be cynical, it seems like I'd be paying them £20 so that they could advertise their product to me.
Pretty much. Although it does, you know, if you're looking for maybe a career in the company, or, you know, becoming a writer for them or something like that, which is something we'll come on to later, by the way, listeners, keep on listening. If you're looking for a career in the company, it's a way of, you know, getting to meet these people.
Yes, no, that is true. That is true. I know that. Nope, I've forgotten. I don't know what I know. There you go. There you go.
Oh, and by the way, listeners, that's £20 for an adult, £10 for a child for each day. So you have to buy the Saturday ticket and the Sunday ticket separately.
Wow, I did not know that. Yeah. That is. Wow.
It's distortionate, isn't it?
Man, Games Workshop. They're a company, I'll give them that.
It prints money! So yes, interesting. So on the main site, other than the Warhammer Fest tickets, they have a new, shall we say a new game being released. By the name
I think
of
game
Patrol.
Is fair, yeah.
Yes, by the name of Lost Patrol, which looks very interesting indeed. It is a tile-based game, which features scouts versus gene stealers in a very Space Hulk-esque setting, shall we say. But it's set on like a death world, so it's like Kadchan or something like that.
Yeah, so it's Blood Angel Scouts specifically. And apparently this was a game, you know, like they're bringing back loads of games. This was a game that they'd had a long time ago that nobody seems to remember.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
No, I listen to a lot of podcasts and nobody's really saying, oh yes, I remember it from 1993 or something. Nobody's remembering this game. I don't think people don't were clamoring for it.
I played specialist games almost exclusively.
Yeah, a bit weird. But, well, a little bit of background about this. Well, not background, God no. As we just discussed, we don't know what this game is. However, you can see Lost Patrol on the Games Workshop website, and you'll see that the sprues for the Space Marines are red, so it's not just your standard grey plastic. And the sprues for the Tyranids are purple. Mm-hmm. You know, the standard Tyranid colour. And we think this is part of the big push that Games Workshop is making to get into normal toy stores. Which also tells us why we know about this now when it's not released until June. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously Games Workshop likes to give everybody a week's notice, because they think that's a good idea. Honestly, what are they doing? Anyway, however, obviously, the rest of the entire world doesn't work on a week's notice. So the idea here is that this will go into real, you know, game stores, Toys R Us, The Entertainer, whatever. And, you know, it will be a legitimate all-in-one box set. Hence the coloured plastic, and us knowing about it beforehand, and it's only £30.
So, yep, £35.
Yeah, can't really argue with that.
Yeah, it's certainly a good way to get your kids into GW.
Yes, it will also be interesting to see we could see if we could be bothered to read the rules, but to see how the game plays. Will it be quite a light, friendly game, or will it be a little bit more serious? I'm not sure.
Well, looking through the blurb, shall we say, a description that they have on the website, it says each game becomes a challenge to try and get further, and because you can turn games around in 10 minutes when you get into it, you can play loads of it and swap sides and make a competition with your mate. So by the looks of it, games may last 10-15 minutes or so by the looks of it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I suspect that they are aiming for that younger market, which is great. I mean, to be honest, this is exactly what Games Workshop should be doing. Even if nobody that plays the Warhammer buys this game, great, good job, keep it up, more of this. Because, you know, if we want the hobby to grow at all, we've got to get the younger kids in, we've got to keep that treadmill going, you know.
Just a bit, so grab them while they're young.
Exactly. And I think this is the best move that Games Workshop has done in quite a long time.
Definitely. Grab them while they're young so they can spend the parents' money.
Exactly.
So yes, that's going to be released, or going to be shipped on the 18th of June if you pre-order now. Should be interesting. Keep an eye on that. Not a lot going on in Forge World so far at the moment, so we're going to kind of gloss past that one.
Hold on now. Forge World?
Okay.
They've just said about the new Mechanicium.
Oh, shut my mouth.
Mechanicus.
Last I checked, all they had was a new Leviathan Titan thing. A Leviathan Dreadnought thing. And that was like the other day, I checked this. So, yeah,
oh,
shut
okay.
my mouth.
Well, this is It's only been previewed, I don't think it's for sale yet. Maybe that's why your eagle eyes didn't spot it. But as far as I can tell, basically I'm pretty sure this is back to 30k, which would make it the Mechanicus, not the Mechanicum, I think. I was getting mixed up.
Are you talking about the big, huge, honking cannon?
Yes, yeah, that's the one.
The big, like, laser cock thing.
That is something you could call it, yes. accurately as well.
Ordinatus.
Oh, okay. So
Mechanicum Ordinatus Sagittar.
Right, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I would presume 40k by that name, but...
Well, there you go then. There you go. Who knew? But as I understand it, it's absolutely huge if you look at it in a picture.
It's massive.
Yeah. And I believe fluff-wise...
I assume this is how big the Mastodon's going to be.
Really? The Mastodon's going to be that big?
Wow. It may be even bigger. I don't know.
Well, that's terrifying.
Looking at the image on ForgeWorld, they've got an image next to one of the models. And the model doesn't even come to the size of the front track.
Yes, no, I remember. It looked good.
It looks humongous.
But yeah, I believe fluff-wise, this is supposed to be a Titan killer.
By all accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, gun down your enemies with this Titan-killing behemoth.
Although, of course, for fun, you know, just go ahead and shoot a grot. That'll be fun.
Oh, love it. Okay, well, there you go. Some stuff going on with ForgeWorld there. Get yourself your £235 laser cock deploy that to the battlefield. Cool. Talking about Black Library there, they've got two new books that have come out recently. The Beast Arises 4, The Last Wall, which is the latest in the Beast Arises series. They've been doing a few of those recently. Would you like to read the blurb there for that one, Alter?
Sure. This is The Beast Arises 4, The Last Wall. Despite the Imperium's best attempts to forestall the Orc plague that is wreaking havoc in human space, an Orc attack moon now hangs over Terra. As its malevolent presence gazes down at the Imperial Palace, terrified citizens run riots in the streets. In a last-ditch attempt to destroy the attack moon, a proletarian crusade is launched. Thousands of ships, large and small, head to the moon carrying billions of citizens, all eager to take the fight to the enemy. It seems the attack has a chance of success as the invasion force lands safely, but the Orcs have yet to spring their trap.
Sounds interesting. Yes, the Beast Arises series seems, well, the first one or two, I think, focus on the Imperial Fists, which is quite an interesting read, from what I understand. This sounds quite interesting as well. Looks like it's very, very reminiscent of a particular crusade to Armageddon.
Does it? I hadn't linked that in my mind at all before.
Well, I thought of that anyway when I read that anyway. That's the first thing that popped into my head.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, I actually picked up the first The Beast Arises book. I was planning to read it, but then I listened to another podcast, which is The Masters of the Forge, and they did a nice in-depth coverage of it, and then it was all spoiled, so I didn't need to read it. They did very good coverage, you know, I was quite happy to just get the notes on it, but
feel the need to read it afterwards.
Yeah, basically, I was like, they went into enough depth that I feel like I didn't miss anything, you know. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
The Master of the Forge, check them out.
Spoilers, if you haven't read the books, read them first.
Well, yeah, that probably would help.
And the other book they've got coming out is Warzone Fenris, Curse of the Wolfen. And since this is Space Wolf related, I would like to take this one.
But of course, don't worry.
So, the Wolfen of the 13th Company have not been seen since Thaes Limramas sailed the Sea of Stars at the head of his legion. Now, amid demon incursions of alarming size, they return to the Space Wars to fight by their side. As Logan Grimnar's great companies scour the stars to rally their returning ancestors, ever more battle brothers begin to fall prey to mysterious changes. Is the Wolfen's reappearance really a blessing of Russ? Or will the dark omens that plague Harald Deathwolf spell doom for the warriors of Fenris? Very interesting indeed. I've always loved the idea of the Wolfen, to be honest, since they brought it in with the 13th Black Crusade. I've been a little bit obsessed with the Wolfen, and I put in a very nice little unit into my Space Wolf army.
Oh, very nice. Have you actually bought the models?
No. Back in the day, because I can't afford to buy anything now, but back in the day, I converted a unit of them. And the leader, I found an old werewolf model, from Fantasy. And this is quite a unique werewolf model in the fact that they actually modelled genitals on this werewolf. So I ordered this model, I got it through the post, and to explain why he was so angry, I took my modelling clippers and snipped off his nads.
Right. That does explain it, to be fair. Yeah.
So whenever someone says, why does he look so angry, I always say, because I snipped off his nads.
That's one way to do it, you know? If you snip off most people's balls, they're going to be pissed off.
But I actually might get this book, because this actually sounds quite interesting, actually. I won't listen to Master of the Forge, which may spoil it.
They probably do, to be honest, yeah.
Black Library, they said Black Crusade, Black Library are also running a contest at the moment, a writing contest, obviously, because Black Library are all about the books. Something they run quite semi-regularly, to give people the chance to write for Black Library and write stories about Warhammer 40,000. The competition they're running is for someone to pen a 10,000 word short story to be published in one of their forthcoming anthologies. To enter, the story must adhere to the theme The Imperium of Man, which means the story could revolve around Space Marines or the Astra Militarum, or even Imperial Assassins, Adeptus Mechanicus, Inquisition, even. You have to send a pitch for your idea, a one paragraph summary, to the Black Library. I keep nearly saying Black Crusade. And as well as a 500 word, or no longer than 500 word, sample of the story. Send that off to blacklibrarysubmissions@gwplc.com with, I think, short story submissions in the subject line of your email, and hopefully they shall get back to you about whether you are entered into it or not. Closing date for the submissions is the 29th of April, so get in there and see if they like your story. Should be interesting.
Gigabyte, I know that you enjoy the occasional putting of pen to paper. Have you entered this?
Yeah, I'm playing with the idea of trying to write a sci-fi short story novel book thing at the moment.
Sure.
And Okta brought this to my attention, and I think I may enter it and see how far I get. It might help with my writer's block that I'm having right now.
Oh, right. Mm, dear. Yeah, I had a little bit of fanfic lying around that I entered into it. It got rejected. So on the plus side, they're getting back to you relatively quickly.
That's
good. Yeah, I think they got back to me within 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a boilerplate rejection. And the only thing I would say is, for anybody thinking of writing, is remember your audience and who you're submitting to. This is Black Library. They will flat out, like, regardless of how good your writing is, they will flat out reject certain ideas because it's just not what their target audience wants.
Yeah.
So, you know, pander to the audience is all I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken on previous episodes of Fox Arcana about how the Games Workshop fans, 40k fans in particular, actually, are some of the most rabid fans out there, and they can turn on you like that. It's ridiculous. Absolutely mental.
And also, I know that Black Library is very protective of the IP.
Oh, definitely.
Very restrictive in what they will print. I know that, you know, if you have a different take on Eldar weaponry, they just won't let it out. You know, they have no interest in any sort of romance in the books at all.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about writing
even as
for
a subplot, license. You know.
That's the thing about writing for a licensed intellectual property. You know, you have to keep to certain guidelines, you know, otherwise you're not writing for the intellectual property.
No, sure, exactly. You've got to remember, this isn't just a story set in the Warhammer world. You know, this is very specifically, you know, what they want. It's not just fan fiction.
Yeah. No, definitely. So yes, get your submissions in and let us know if you make it through. You know, would like to find out.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. And of course, best of luck to any aspiring writers out there.
Indeed, indeed. Video games. There's been a couple of things going on with video games recently. Battlefleet Gothic have a new trailer out for the orcs, and it is fucking hilarious. Have you seen that trailer, Walter?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's so funny. Seriously. The whole trailer is just orcs, like orc pirates, basically. Space orc pirates. Singing, must be like a pirate shanty of some description, like an orc pirate shanty. Just goes through the whole video, those orcs singing. And then the orc commander is saying things like, you know, ramming speed, or all sorts of stuff, you know. It's just so funny. It's like
nice,
a more comedic
nice.
Version of Klingons.
Well, that's weird. But okay, I'll go with it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of when I saw that trailer was an old episode of Deep Space Nine, where you see a bunch of Klingons. I think it's Martok and a bunch of his guys just singing and chanting away and on the bridge of their ship. You know, it's quite funny.
Oof, I'm afraid you've out-geeked me there. I've never been a DS9 guy. I was Voyager.
Ugh. That's it, you're dead to me.
Oh, what? Voyager was clearly the best of the Star Treks.
I'll leave you with that opinion. That is a conversation for one of Holosuite Media's other shows, which is The Geek Easy. But I'll just leave it with the fact that you're wrong, and we'll leave it at that.
I can accept that. I've never been a Trekkie, so...
Yes, and finally we have something else in terms of video games, other than Battlefleet Gothic, because they've pretty much been the only other video game updating recently. The Inquisitor Martyr team recently went through a developer preview with Angry Joe. Once again, Angry Joe getting one of the 40k games, you know, ahead of time. Being quite a big 40k fan, I'm sure he enjoys that.
Yeah, I think he quite deliberately uses his influence to go and get, you know, the Warhammer games because he enjoys it.
Oh, clearly. Both Auctor and I have seen this video, and to be honest, I'm in two minds as to whether to think that he's kind of excited about it, but not, if you know what I mean. It's a really hard one to watch and to listen to.
Yeah, so I mean, we spoke about this a little bit off air, but there wasn't really anything to show.
Not really.
It was almost like a tech demo, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much showed exactly the same thing they showed at, was it Gamescom they did there?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they run through? But yeah, they didn't really show much else that we didn't know about already. And to be honest, I had the same problem with this developer preview as I did with the tech demo that they had at Gamescom. The fact that the guy, I think it's Neocom that are making the game, the guy they chose to go through it didn't really sound like he knew much about the property, like the IP. He sounded like he didn't really know much about it.
I've got to say, I did not pick up on that, but I will believe it, sure. Yeah.
Well, back at Gamescom, the one line that stuck with me was the fact that the character, the Inquisitor that you play, was armed with a chainsword and a bolt pistol. And the first thing one of the guys says is that your character is armed with a chainsword, which is a very common weapon in the 40K universe. I thought to myself, hang on, who would be watching this except for 40K fans? Who the hell is going to know what this game is about except for 40K fans? You know, the name Inquisitor Martyr doesn't really inspire that much in someone to know what this game's about.
I don't know. I think that may be you being a little bit too harsh there. I mean, he's stood in this, you know, convention hall for the entire weekend, and he's got people that genuinely don't know what this game may be coming up to him saying, what's this? And he's saying, oh, this is a chainsword. And then, you know, the response is like, oh, sorry, I was looking for the toilets. You know, something like that. And it's like, he's probably having to really break it down for people.
Maybe. I think we were saying there wasn't, for an action RPG, this is a developer preview. This is supposed to be a big thing for them. You know, they're trying to get it out to the public. There wasn't much action going on there.
Yeah. As I said earlier, if you want to look at it that way, there wasn't much action, which is the A. And then there wasn't really much role or playing or game, to be honest.
It's true.
It looked pretty, you know, which is why I say it looks like a tech demo almost. It looks perfectly playable, but it looked really boring, which is really bad.
I mean, the problem with the moniker action RPG is that it can pretty much be applied to God knows how many different types of games nowadays. From Diablo to Fallout to Deus Ex, going back even as far as something like Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo, you know, Borderlands, Titan Quest, you know, these are all games that pop up in a Google search for action RPG. You know, Fable, it's such a generic term that you just can't really, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, when you give it that very specific viewpoint, you know it means Diablo clone. You know, there's no real question about it.
Clearly, looking at the game, it's clearly a Diablo clone.
Oh yeah. But, and then, you know, everybody still uses Blizzard, the king of Diablo, as the benchmark. Everything is going to be related to Diablo. And it does not compare, you know? No, I mean, okay, true. You know, it's still pre-alpha. Let's be fair. However, as a video to show it off, it did not put it in a good light.
No, it didn't.
As I said, it looks quite nice. I like the ideas they've got, where, you know, you get the different classes, which obviously is basic stuff. But I could see myself enjoying replaying with the different classes and going through the different talent trees, which I assume they will have.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gameplay itself at this point is non-existent.
It certainly wasn't a good thing to show off, for something like Angry Joe.
No. Yeah, they could have held off a little bit longer. I mean, it almost looks like they're going to do something with a cover system, because it seemed like the guns interacted with cover a little bit. Mm. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, if they just nail the gameplay, then I will forgive this poor showing for a pre-alpha build. But yeah, it's made me nervous seeing this. It has not inspired me with confidence.
Totally, but we shall wait and we shall see. Obviously, as you say, it is pre-alpha, so there obviously is a lot of work to do there. Hopefully, it will be better as they get closer to a possible beta in the future. Keep your fingers crossed.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, without a doubt, I'll be keeping my eye on this. But yeah, I think a lot of finger crossing will be required.
Indeed. Cool. And moving on to today's Imperial data slate. So we've been covering the Chaos Gods. We've covered Khorne and Nurgle thus far. So this week we are covering Slaanesh, the newest of the Chaos Gods. And as always, we start out with a quote. Okta, would you like to take that?
All power demands sacrifice and pain. The universe rewards those willing to spill their life's blood for the promise of power.
Indeed, so Slaanesh is the Chaos God of lust, greed, excess, pain, pleasure, perfection, and hedonism. Slaanesh was the last of the major gods to be born, coming into existence with the collapse of the Eldar civilization. The name Slaanesh derives from Slaaneth, with a TH at the end, the god's name in the language of Chaos. Sla, meaning ecstasy or pleasure, and Neth, meaning lord of, master of, or prince of, hence the moniker Prince of Pleasure. Slaanesh typically appears in a form which is female on the right side and male on the left, with two sets of horns rising from its flowing golden hair. It can, however, assume any form, male, female, hermaphrodite, or asexual, but prefers male bodies. Its sacred number is 6. The symbol of Slaanesh combines the conventional symbols for male and female. It is also known by a multitude of titles such as Prince of Chaos, Prince of Excess, Prince of Pleasure, and the Lord of Dark Delights. To the Eldar, however, who do not name the god, it is referred to by only the Lovecraftian titles of She Who Thirsts, She Who Is Not Named, The Great Enemy, and The Great Serpent, as well as numerous others. Slaanesh was fully born at the moment of the fall of the Eldar. The birth of Slaanesh created the Eye of Terror and slew most of the Eldar except those far enough away from the Eldar homeworlds to escape. This event also slew all the Eldar gods except for Cain, who was shattered into many pieces, the Laughing God, or Kegorach, and Aisha, who was, according to one craft lord, taken captive by the Chaos God Nurgle, as we mentioned on the previous episode. Slaanesh has a neutral attitude to some of the other Chaos Gods, as he is generally too caught up in his own pleasures to be interested in rivalries or alliances. But his particular enemy is Khorne, whose belief in pain and death is completely opposed to Slaanesh's principle of a life of unrestricted pleasure.
Now we come on to the worship of Slaanesh. Slaanesh's symbol is rarely worn openly by its followers. They instead often wear items of jewellery bearing erotic motifs. Followers dress in robes which are often open to leave the right side of the chest uncovered, a requirement of many of the rituals involved in his worship. Pastel and electric shades are the chief colours, although white may be used as well. These colours are also sometimes carried over into everyday wear, although they may be modified to fit in with current fashions. In all cases, all Slaanesh followers wear garb of sensuously high quality. Even the most militant of Slaanesh's followers do not deny themselves this hedonistic lifestyle. Cultist hideouts may be fortified and stocked with weapons, but they are equally stocked with luxurious furniture, sumptuous food, and erotic decorations. In the mythology of the primitive inhabitants of Fenris, Slaanesh, presumably a misinterpretation of Slaanesh, is an evil deity, described as the offspring of the dark god Horus and the dragon goddess Skrinir, and is imprisoned within one of the planet's volcanic islands after being defeated by Leman Ross himself. And then that brings us to the demons of Slaanesh. Now first we have the Keeper of Secrets, the greater demons of Slaanesh. Each Keeper of Secrets has a unique appearance that mirrors Slaanesh's mood at the time of its creation. Their looks can range from terrifyingly haunting but almost human to bestial, though all are tall and lithe with long claws and limbs and a crown of horns that sprouts from their head and intoxicating eyes that look like black crystals. Also, they will have striking, amazingly fast limbs, and they can cause corruption in other ways. They love to turn emotions such as courage, bravery, and valor into selfishness and other emotions.
So then the demonettes are the next one on the list there. The common demons of Slaanesh are disturbingly beautiful, often feminine on one side and masculine on the other, mirroring their master. They usually have crab-like claws instead of hands. Depending on the situation, demonettes can be gracious and swift warriors, using their razor-sharp claws when violent force is necessary, or subtle messengers and seducers who will haunt the dreams and nightmares of their victims. Those demonettes that excel in their servitude may serve the Lord of Pleasure personally as courtesans on his throne. The more privileged a demonette is, the closer she is allowed to approach the throne.
And so logically we go to Steeds of Slaanesh. The demonic mounts of Slaanesh, lurid snake-like creatures who lash with their prehensile tongues. They are often ridden by demonettes, as well as gifted to favoured champions. A steed has a serpentine body propelled on two long, muscular legs. Its head is extremely narrow, little more than a slender snout with eyes, for which a tongue 7 meters long flicks and darts and can taste the desire of mortals.
Yeah, and lastly we have the Fiends of Slaanesh, the demonic beasts of Slaanesh. They are a bizarre hybrid of insectoid, reptilian, and human. They are endowed with long slender bodies covered with delicate scales, whip-like tails with mesmerizing movements, four legs with humanoid feet, and two claw-like arms they employ for disemboweling their enemies.
And so we come to the Palace of Slaanesh. The Palace of Slaanesh's realm within the wall. Those that dare his realm risk becoming trapped in its warped delights for eternity. The Dark Prince's realm is divided into six domains arranged in concentric rings about the Palace of Pleasure. The palace itself can only be reached by passing through all six domains. The Circle of Avidity plays upon the interloper's greed. The Circle of Gluttony is next. It plays upon the intruder's desire for lavish foods and wines. The third circle is the Circle of Carnality. Where the perfect desires of the heart reside, testing to the extreme the individual's desires.
That's
the fourth
favorite.
Circle is the circle of... Let's be honest, we don't know what's beyond that circle. We all get stuck there. End of the podcast, goodbye. No. So, the fourth circle is the Circle of Paramountcy, where the traveller is greeted by roars of adulation. Here, the intruder is tempted with absolute power over others. The penultimate circle is the Circle of Vainglory. The traveller is presented with his ideal self-image, and if he feels but an ounce of pride, for eternity will this circle be his prison. The last circle is the most perilous. It is a heavenly place, within which resides a seemingly perfect environment, fills the intruder with bliss, but to rest and enjoy the pleasure for a single moment results in falling into a coma and eventually dying in idle bliss. One may walk the circles for centuries, but cannot for a second give in to his ultimate desires, for he will fall. If one is able to successfully pass through the circle, he comes before the palace and Slaanesh himself. It is impossible for mortals to look upon the god without instantly losing their soul, for all who see it become willing slaves to every whim of the Dark Prince.
Cool, yes, I really wouldn't like to meet Slaanesh. It's quite a daunting prospect.
If I'm honest with you, if I had to meet any of the gods, I'd pick Slaanesh.
I'd pick Zinch.
That's fair. Zeech is good as well.
Yeah, we should be covering Zeech next episode. Should be interesting indeed. He's got some very interesting background.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Because all I really know about him is he likes knowledge and he's a bit of a trickster.
He is indeed. And like I say, he does have some very interesting background to him. Yeah, so that brings us to Dedications of the Faithful. I've made a discovery as of late in terms of this. According to the UK iTunes, possibly the EU iTunes as well, we haven't received enough reviews on iTunes to display an average rating for the show. So we have received reviews, but they're not being shown because there isn't enough to display an average. So please, guys, if you have a free moment in your day, please go to iTunes and give us a review and a rating, and hopefully iTunes will start displaying them for us. If you want to contact the show, obviously voxarcona@gmail.com. Tell us we're doing a good job, bad job, whatever it is, let us know.
Just to add to that, Sally, when I listen to other podcasts, every single podcast does this little bit where they're asking for, you know, reviews. The reason for that, if anyone's not aware, is that the more reviews we get, iTunes list of podcasts, which means we can start picking up natural follows as opposed to the follows that we pick up from advertising this on the Eternal Crusade forums, etc. Just in case anyone wasn't aware.
No, exactly. So yeah,
we're not just being weird and sycophantic.
Although we do like to know that, you know, we're doing a good job. So.
Yeah, no, I apologise. What I meant was we are weird and sycophantic, but that's not the reason we're asking for the reviews.
It's all done with love.
Slaanesh's love.
Indeed. Yep, and that takes us to our thought for the day. I shall take this one.
Shoot, go for it.
Take care, lest your protests grow tiresome. I have asked for so little. Anyone would think that I have asked you to sacrifice yourselves and your sons. And yet, in Slaanesh's boundless and pleasing mercy, I have asked only for your daughters. Surely, you would not deny me my small enjoyments? We shall leave you to ponder on that. I have been Gigabyte. He has been Octa. We are Vox Arcona. And we shall see you next time.
See you, everyone.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.